Om Shanti. Some days back, when there was a debate here, we were discussing about moving yoga and walking yoga. In that class, we had discussed something about sitting yoga, and in that we had mentioned about different postures. So yesterday when I was thinking about this, it struck me that to talk something about different types of postures, different types of asanas. So I have made some list of some asanas. They are known as, actually you all know that there is a system of yoga in India which is known as Hatha Yoga. So this Hatha Yoga has been described in different texts, classical texts. Mainly there are three classic texts. The first of them is Shiva Samhita, the second is Pradipika Samhita, and is Karanda Samhita. There is one more, Goraksha Samhita, and you all know that Patanjali has also described his different wings, different limbs of, eight limbs of yoga, which is known as Patanjali's Raj Yoga. So, a very interesting thing, and this I had listened, I had heard in one of the classes of one Australian senior brother, Brother Kane, who had mentioned about different asanas in one of his lectures. There are about 84 different asanas. And to go into the depth of it, there are about 84 lakhs asanas. And it is said that Yogacharya Shiva, Lord Shiva, has described all these 84 lakh asanas. Since there are 84 lakh species, as is told in Bhakti Marg, there are 84 lakh species, so there are 84 lakh different asanas, 10,000 asanas for each species. But those 84 lakhs are not available. The available figure is 84, but even those 84 are not fully available. So there is one text of Hatha Yoga, which is known as Karanda Samhita. It describes about 32 different asanas. And they say that asanas are very important in meditation. Just as you know, there are eight limbs of Raj Yoga as described by Patanjali: Yama, Niyama, Asan, Pratyahar. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pratyahar, Dhyan, Dharana, Samadhi. Okay, so in this way they describe all this different limbs of Raj Yoga, and out of those, Asana and Pratyahar, if you take only these two, they constitute what is known as Hatha Yoga. So Hatha Yoga, these are the two words, Hatha and Yoga. Hatha. Ha means there are two nerves. One is Pingala and one is Ida. So these are the two nerves. One is representing sun, one is representing moon, and they are there in the body. So all these things, Baba has not mentioned any one of these things, but these are described in different scriptures. And they say that asanas are very important. Asanas means postures or positions where you sit in for your meditation. So now what is asana? Asana is something where you are very much comfortable. A relaxed position where you are comfortable so that you can do good meditation. That is what is known as asana or postures. Now as I said, there are different, about 32 asanas. Total are 84 lakhs. Then there are 84, and some of the texts have described clear-cut 84 asanas. So in today's class, we are going to discuss this about different asanas. What is the meaning of those asanas as per Raj Yoga, which is taught by Baba? So there are 84. Of course, they are physicals, but now we will search about the spiritual dimensions of those 32 asanas. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pratyahar, Dhyan, Dharana, Samadhi, all those things are there. So, the first asan which is described, this is known as Bhadrasan. This is the asan, it is known as Bhadrasan. This is how a person sits. Now, what is Bhadrasan? Actually, we will discuss this in an entirely different, with different understanding. This is a Bhadrasan. Bhadra means auspicious, Shubh. Bhadra, Purush or Abhadra we say in Hindi or Sanskrit. So, Bhadrasan means, also it means something which is very much fortunate. Something which is a destroyer of all the diseases. And when you practice this asana, they say it awakens the lowermost chakra, which is the Muladhara chakra, even though these are all invisible chakras. So now, I was thinking in a different light, with different understanding, when a Brahmin, or when a Rajyogi assumes this, when you are churning about your fortune, when you are thinking about how fortunate you are, that God is teaching you, that you have got this elevated Brahmin life, actually you are adopting this Bhadrasana. When you are thinking, how elevated I am, when you are churning your fortune, that time actually you are situated in this Bhadrasana. And this is one of the, all these are the different asanas of Rajyoga. This is what we are going to discuss today. So Bhadrasana means something where if you keep on churning about your fortune, if you keep on churning about the treasures you have got, if you keep on churning about the attainments, praptis, whatever you have got, automatically you stay in a very positive state of the mind and you awaken that Muladhara chakra or that Kundalini. These are the seven chakras which are described, which are there in the body. Baba has never mentioned that, and even the science says that such chakras are not there anywhere. But spirituality says that these are invisible chakras. Or rather, even if you deny the presence of this chakra, these are the different level at which consciousness operates. The lowest chakra is Muladhara chakra, which is only concerned with sensual pleasures. Little above you rise, you come to the Swadhisthana chakra. Then you little above, you come to Manipur chakra. These are the little lower three chakras. And if a person's life is based on these chakras, the lowest is about sensuality, the little above is about food, and little above is about power to dominate others. So if the life is based only on this, you are at a lower platform. When you rise up, little above, these are till here is the umbilicus, is the Manipur chakra, they say. As I said, they are invisible. If you come to the heart, that is Anahat chakra. It is here that you feel to do some social service. You feel to do something for the world. You little come above, you come here, Vishuddha chakra. Vishuddha chakra, you start your search about religion. What is religion? What is God? You come little ahead, here is the Agya chakra. Agya chakra is in the middle of the forehead. Here is the point of spirituality. And here is the Sahasrara chakra, which is said about the total complete enlightenment or samadhi. So, when do we adopt Bhadrasan? Bhadrasan means when you are thinking about your fortune, that time you are actually adopting Bhadrasan. Second is Bhujangasan. This is the Bhujangasan which they describe. So Bhujanga means serpent. Bhujanga means cobra, snake. So when do we adopt Bhujangasan in Brahmin life? When do we adopt? Baba has talked about snakes. See, all these asanas are related to animals. And Baba has mentioned a lot about animals. What you learn from animals. So what does Baba say about snakes? Baba said snake gives up the old and takes up the new. So whenever in your mind you try to think of giving up the old and adopting new, give up the old lifestyle, adopting new lifestyle, giving up old sanskars, adopting new sanskar, giving up old, bad, tamopradhan habits, and think of changing your life, think of adopting new sanskar, think of adopting new habits, new sanskars, new virtues, that time actually you are adopting this Bhujangasana. And they say that if you do Bhujangasana, it does lot of stretching of the spines and all those things, physical. That is a physical dimension of it. But we are discussing the spiritual dimensions of it. So it also leads to awakening of Kundalini, they say. Kundalini is nothing but the spiritual enlightenment. You'll stay in the stage of spiritual awakening. So to adopt Bhujangasana means to be like a snake, to give up the old skin and to adopt the new skin. So this is what is known as Bhujangasana. Second. Third is Dhanurasan. You must have heard about this Dhanurasan. You must have seen this Dhanurasan. This is how Dhanurasan is done. Dhanur means bow and arrow. So, when do you say that a Brahmin is adopting a Bhujangasan, this Dhanurasan? Aim and object, okay. Then, where is the bow in that? And where is, what is the arrow? Actually, this mouth is the bow, Dhanur, and the words of knowledge are the arrows. So, whenever you are speaking out knowledge, whenever you are relating knowledge, whenever you are narrating knowledge, whenever you are explaining this to others, actually you are doing Dhanurasana that time. So, that is the state of a Rajyogi. This is the asana a person adopts, a Dhanurasana he adopts whenever. So, Dhanurasana has lot of benefits. It increases flexibility. So, when you start speaking knowledge, it increases your flexibility. It stretches your back and all the muscle, tones your legs. But this is physical. Spiritual Dhanurasana will tone your mind, tone your intellect, tone your soul. Just as, see, there are three dimensions again. These are the physical asanas, then mental asanas, and then spiritual asanas. Now, we are discussing physical asanas in the light of physical, spiritual dimensions. So, when do you say you are doing Dhanurasana? Dhanurasana is when you speak knowledge. Again, one more thing Baba has said in a different context, that you break the bow of body consciousness. You break this bow of body consciousness. That is also importance of Dhanur. So, Dhanurasana. This is the third asana. Then there is a Garuda asana. Garuda means eagle. So, when does a Brahmin adopts Garudasana? Garuda means Garuda's eyes, eagle. Its eyes are very sharp. When you start picking up virtues, when you start imbibing virtues, actually you are doing Garudasana at that time. So Garudasana means it also increases concentration. And it is the, see, you must have heard, Garuda is a mount Vahana of Lord Vishnu. That's what it is shown. And it is full of force, speed, and it is used in fights. So, Garudasana means, that also is the significance of Garuda. So, Garuda means when we are very much in a strong position in fighting with Maya, we are actually doing Garudasana. When we are very keen-sighted, our vision is very, very sharp, that picking up virtues from everyone, that time we are doing Garudasana. Garudasana increases your concentration. So as I said, Garuda has got amazing eyesights. And also, it's the king of all the birds. King of all the birds. Garuda is the king of all the birds. And that is why it is always eager to help humanity fight against all the demons, all the rakshas. This is the bird. So whenever we are fighting against vices, we are doing Garudasana. So, Garudasana everybody should do. If you want, you can even do physical Garudasana this way. So, that also will help you in maintaining your weight or body or stretching exercises, increasing concentration. So, this is known as spiritual Garudasana. Now, fifth one is the Gomukhasana. Gomukhasana is what? Go means cow. Gomukhasana. When from your mouth you are uttering knowledge, you are actually doing Gomukhasana. Go also means light. Light. Go also means light. So whenever you are doing, whenever you are full of light of knowledge, actually you are in the position of Gomukhasana. Gomukhasana also indicates lightness of the head. So it's like cow pose. Okay. Go also means senses, indriya. Go, Govind. One word is there in Sanskrit, Govind. The one who is the controller of his senses. Like for Krishna, they use the word Govind, Govindam. Go means senses, one who is controlling all. So, yeah, so those who is Indriyajit, he is Govind actually. So, Gomukhasana means so many meanings. When you are uttering knowledge, when you are relating knowledge, that time you are doing Gomukhasana. When you are churning. Okay, that is another thing. Yeah, right. Baba has also said that just as cow sits and she chews the cud. That is known as chewing the cud. So, chewing the cud is Ugarna, what Baba says. So, when you are churning knowledge, you are actually doing Gomukhasana. So, this is known as Ashok Bhai, spiritual Gomukhasana. ठीक है, यू हैव टू डू दिस स्पिरिचुअल गोमुखासन एवरी डे, दिस इज द फोर्थ एंड देन फिफ्थ देन सिक्स गोरक्षासन, दिस इज द गोरक्षासन दे हैव सेड. सो गोरक्षा, गोरक गो मीन्स अगेन सेंसेस, वेन यू आर प्रोटेक्टिंग ऑल यूर सेंसेस, रक्षा गोरक्षक, काउ विजिलेंटीज आर देयर nowadays, lot of things are going on about them, gorakshaks. So go means your senses, when you are in the control of your senses, you are actually doing go rakshasan. Okay, so that is then. Then seventh is guptasan. Guptasan means everything secret. Guptasan means everything secret. There are I will tell you how to remember all of them at the end. Okay. So guptasan means what? Means what? When your purusharth, when your efforts, when your jnana, when your yoga, when your dharanas and when your seva, when you try to do everything without any show off, you are doing it in a very, very, you are giving donation, gupta dan. So that time you are actually doing guptasan. So that earns you more benefit. So this is how actually it is done. It is shown, the posture is also shown here. So this is how you do guptasana. So this is, everything is about, everything, jnana, yoga, dharana and seva, everything is secret. You don't want to make a show of things, show off of things. Yeah, incognito warriors. Then there is a kukkutasana. Kukkutasana. Kukkutasana is that rooster or cock. What you call in Hindi as murga or whatever. Yeah, so what it does, it wakes up early in the morning. So when you wake up early in the morning, you are actually doing? Nobody. So it is useful. See how he does, doing kukutasana. Kukutasana means you just fold your legs and then you put your hands through the legs and you lift your body. That is actually kukutasana. So kukutasana means early riser, early waker. So when the more you wake up in the morning, early. So that means Nagaraj bhai, you are doing kukutasana. Okay. So it helps you increase your balance. So this is a spiritual kukutasana. Then there are two from K. Then is the kurmasana. Kurma means kachua. That is known as tortoise. So what does Baba say about tortoise? Tortoise means withdraw, power to withdraw. So whenever you become introvert, silent, go within yourself. Just now we were hearing in Amrit Vela, throughout the day when you are introverted, throughout the day when you are avyakta stage, the same avyakta stage and same introversion will help you, will form the basis of doing your next day's Amrit Vela. So you require two things. Antarmukhi, that is introverted stage, and second is avyakta stage, unmanifested stage. So that will, that is something, this is known as kurmasan. You know about 24 avatars, one of the avatars is kurma avatar. In that Sagar Manthan, that he becomes kurma. Yeah. So when you do kurmasan, when you are withdrawing your senses, so that is your kurmasan. Then there is a makarasan. Makar means crocodile. So what is the significance of when we do makarasan? What is the significance of crocodile? No, positive aspects. See, in scriptures it is written that the river Ganges, Ganga and Yamuna, their vahan is crocodile. Yamuna and Ganges, they ride on crocodile. One is this. Second thing, crocodile has a unique ability to live on the sand, land and sea. He can adjust anywhere. He can stay on the land. He can go and stay in the sea. So crocodile means, makarasan means, when you have this ability to adopt anywhere. Adjust. You can adjust anywhere. That time actually you are doing makarasan. So makarasan is actually a relaxing posture. It is beneficial in all the psychosomatic disorders. Physical makarasan. So here spiritual makarasan means you develop abilities to adjust yourself in all the situations of life. Sometimes you are in Madhuvan, sometimes you are in center, sometimes you are at any place. You never know where you will be. So it doesn't mean that now I'm out of Madhuvan, so how can I do yoga? It's not like that. Anywhere you may be, any part of the world. Baba said take the 7-day course and go anywhere and do the meditation or start spreading the knowledge. So makarasan means you develop adjusting powers. Adjusting also with different people. People of different sanskars, different natures, different people are there. So you need to have this. So practice Makarasana. Okay. Next is Mandukasana. Manduk means frog. Toad. Manduk. So what is the speciality of frog? When do you do Mandukasana? It is said that it is an ugly creature, but it has a lot of hidden talents. One is this. Second, it is heralding. It is like that rain is about to come. Just before the rains, before the Parjanya. Parjanya is rain. So they herald, they declare, they make this thing. They sing song that the moment frogs start coming, it means rain is about to come. So they predict, they do predictions about rain. So Makarasana means, this is written in Rig Veda about a lot of things about Makarasana, about frogs. So they have considered very auspicious, very shubh. Frogs are considered very auspicious in scriptures. So this is known as Mandukasana. So whenever we are predicting about the shower of rains, shower of knowledge, so actually we are those spiritual frogs. So we are doing what? Mandukasana. Then there is a 12th number is Matsyasana. What is Matsya? Matsya is fish. So when we do Matsyasana? See, who are we? Who is the ocean? Where do we stay? We are staying in this ocean of Shivaba is the ocean and we are the fishes. If the fish is asked, what is ocean? If a fish is asked, what is ocean? She will say, I don't know what is ocean, but I cannot live without it. I don't know what is ocean, but I can't live without it. What I am seeing, everything is ocean only, but I cannot describe it. It is indescribable. I cannot understand it. But yes, without ocean, my life is impossible. In the similar manner, what is he? What is God? What is Baba? It's very difficult to describe in words. Baras jata hai, naino se wo samjhaya nahi jata. It is, you can express it only with your tears, but you cannot tell what it is, he is. What is his nature? Where does he stay? What he is exactly? What is my relationship with him? It is indescribable. But, yes. So, in the similar manner, we are those fishes. Where we are staying? In the ocean of in the ocean, and Shivaba is the ocean. Then there is a Matsyendrasana. Matsyendrasana means Lord of the fishes. Suppose Shivaba is the ocean and these fishes are all the treasures. Then we are the Lord of all the treasures. We are the Lord of all the treasures. If fishes are the treasures within this ocean of Shivaba, then we are the Lord of all the treasures. So this is known as Matsyendrasana. Then there is something known as Mayurasana. Mayur means peacock. When are we doing peacock? Mayurasana? Mayur is always dancing. Okay, so when we are dancing that time, actually we are doing Mayurasana. Next. What is the purity? Baba has said, Baba has kept preserved this example in nature. Because Baba knew that towards the end of Kali Yuga, man will ask, how is it possible that reproduction will occur without physical intervention? So Baba has kept this example. Baba always talks about two. One is this animal and another is papita, tree. So peacock means dancing. Peacock means purity. Peacock means when are we doing this Mayurasana? It attracts others, okay? Then we are, when we are attracting others with our spirituality, that time we are doing Mayurasana. Then, how is the peacock is so beautiful? It is so colorful. It is not the same color. It's not like that crow. It's so beautiful. When it dances, the entire nature enjoys it. So everybody, it attracts everybody. So it's an embodiment of beauty. So, when we are beautiful, when we are spiritually beautiful, when we are attracting everybody, when we are dancing and when we are singing and when we are singing the joys of ecstasy, of rapture, of super sensuous bliss, that time we are doing Mayurasana. The next is Muktasana. Muktasana means free. When we are free of all the bondages. when we are free of all the bondages, no limitations, no bondages, all the limits have gone, that time actually we are doing Muktasan. So always stay doing this Muktasan, it's good. Then 16th is Padmasan. Padmasan means lotus. Lotus, detached. When you are in the world but you are unattached. When you are in the mud but mud doesn't touch you. That time, such a stage, such a spiritual stage of detachment. When you are amidst everything, all the hustle and bustle of the world, and yet you are calm, yet you are composed, yet you are equipoised, yet you are balanced, yet you are pure, yet you are untouched, unadulterated, uncontaminated, unsoiled. Such immaculate purity. So that is known as Padmasan. Then another is Paschimottanasan. What is spiritual Paschimottanasan? Paschimottanasan means you bend forward. Paschimottanasan means you bend forward. That means you are so much eager to learn everything, to grasp this knowledge. Also it represents humility, humbleness. You are namrata, you are bending down before somebody. So this is known as spiritual Paschimottanasan. So throughout the day you have to do all these exercises. Then is Sankatasana. What is Sankatasana? Sankatasana means this is known as difficult pose. This is very, sometimes you can see here how this person is sitting. This is known as Sankatasana. Sankatasana is during the period of Sankat, you become so determined, adik, you become very strong. So during the period of difficult circumstances and difficult situations in life, you have to assume this Sankatasana. Sankatasana means you assume like an Angad. You become like a very much determined, immovable, unshakable, firm, unflinching like Angad. So that is the stage of, yeah. And then 19th is Shavasan. Shavasan means? It's a relaxing procedure. Actually it means death. Shava means dead body, cadaver, corpse. So you become like dead. So in the yoga, you get detached from the body. So you are doing Shavasan. So always do this Shavasan. Then 20th is Shalabhasan. Shalabhasan means grasshopper. Grasshopper, you know? What you call it in Hindi? Tiddi or whatever. So grasshopper is a Shalabhasan. So what is the speciality of grasshopper? In lot of literature around the world, grasshopper is said to be an indicator of symbol of good luck. Good luck. It also indicates wealth, goodness, happiness, and all those things, abundance. So grasshopper, so whenever you are in that stage of good luck, you are in that happy state of the mind, abundant state of the mind, that time actually you are doing Shalabhasan. Shalab means that grasshopper, locust it is also known as. Then another is Siddhasan. What is Siddhasan? Siddha means success. Attainments. So whenever you are situated in that, just as we said Bhadrasana first. Bhadrasana means you are thinking about all the fortune. So here also you are thinking about success or your victory. So that is known as your Siddhasana. Accomplished. You have achieved. You don't need to achieve anything now. You have attained everything. You have got everything. Then there is a Simhasana. Simhasana means lion. When you do Simhasana, it indicates courage, it indicates fearlessness, indicates victory, it indicates king, you are the king of forest, it indicates, means what more? In front of Maya you are like a king, in front of Maya, so that is known as Simhasan. So you have to become like this. Then there is a Swastikasana. Swastikasana means Swastik, it's like the discus. You spin the discus of self-realization. So it also known as, it is a very auspicious pose. So whenever you are sitting in the Swastikasana means you are having very good thoughts, pure feelings, pure emotions within you. So there is a purification of all the feelings and all the emotions, good wishes and pure feelings. Shubh bhavna and shubh kamna. That is what is the Swastikasana. Then there is a Trishasana. Trishasana means bull. Bull means vrusha. In Sanskrit they are known as vrusha. Vrusha means very powerful. Bull. So vrushasana or trishasana. It means when you are in a very powerful state of the mind, actually you are doing vrushasana or trishasana. Then there is a ushtrasana. Ushtrasana means camel, unt. So what do you learn from camel? Yeah. Yeah, high stage of the mind.
Long neck.
Long neck and saying yes, my lord, okay. And snake has a camel has a unique ability to survive in deserts without water for a long time. So, to ability to survive in adverse situations for a long time. When you do this, it means you are doing ushtrasan. This is known as ushtrasan, camel pose. So you have to develop these abilities. Now all the facilities are there. Tomorrow nothing would be there. No internet, no mobile, no fan, no electricity, no bed, no food, no pillow, no soft bed. So tomorrow nothing would be there. Tomorrow somebody is there to listen to you, somebody is there to hear you, somebody, you have all the facilities of science, you have all the transport. Tomorrow there won't be any transport. The other day Nagraj Bhai was describing the incident where there was only one four-wheeler in the yagya once upon a time, and Dadi Ratan Moini had to go, so there was no vehicle, and already one Dadi was going down, so they arranged for a public transport, that government bus. And they went by a public bus. So that was a time once upon a time in yagya. So such a time is going to come in future, there won't be any transport. So you should be like a camel. You should be able to survive in all the adverse situations, vipreet, all the difficult times, hard times, tough times of life. So you have to prepare yourself. Now everything is there, but tomorrow nothing would be there. So it's not that you become totally shaken that time. So what you have to do is ushtrasan. Then is utkatasan. Utkatasan means something superior. So you should be superior in imbibing virtues. That is known as utkatasan. So this is how he is showing doing utkatasan. Utkat means higher, superior. So become superior in this. Then there is something known as uttan kurmasan. Kurmasan we already saw. Uttan means raised, little higher. So we already saw what is kurma. Kurma means tortoise. Tortoise means withdraw. So heightened ability to withdraw. Already withdraw, power to withdraw we saw, but here is uttan kurmasan means heightened power of withdrawal. Again, in the similar manner, there is a uttan mandukasana. Manduk means frog. We saw what are the abilities of frog. So here the heightened all the abilities of frog. So these are the two uttan. Then there is a vajrasan. Vajra means strong. Vajra means lightning. Bijli. Vajra means thunderbolt. So you become like that thunderbolt, like that Damini, like that Bijli, like that thunderbolt, like that Vajra or that hard metal. So it is also known as thunderbolt, means something very hard. So very strong, very determined inside, very much strong like that lightning. Lightning is so strong, it can destroy anything. It is so strong. Okay. So you are, when you do Vajrasan means you are actually inside your mental stage is very strong. Then there is a Virasan. Vir means hero.
Bravery.
Bravery. Valor. When you are like a hero actor in this drama, you are actually doing Virasan. So this is known as Virasan. Then there is a Vrikshasan. This is a Vriksha. Vriksha means tree. So what is the significance of that? Vrikshasan. Vriksha. When do you do mental Vrikshasan? Spiritual Vrikshasan. Coolness. Okay, what do you learn from tree, by the way? It gives. Then it droops. It has the ability to it is humble. Then it never asks. It gives you tree. It gives you fruits. It gives you shade. It is silent. Then it is wish fulfilling. Then what else? It has an ability to expand. So, to expand in knowledge, to expand in service, to expand in dharanas, to expand in virtues, that when we are doing this, we are actually doing Vrikshasan. What else from Vriksh? Shadow, shade, oxygen. So many things are there. Fruits and flowers. And the skin of the tree. And the wood of the tree. How this is made? From where this table has come? From tree. So it is an indication. So whenever you are doing selfless service, you are actually doing Vrikshasan. And the last 30 second. There are 84, I said. I just took only 32 asanas. These are mentioned in Gheranda Samhita. which is a text of Hatha Yoga, a very authorized 17th century text. The earlier text, Gorakshanath was there. He also wrote his text on Hatha Yoga. Everybody, all these people have written about Hatha Yoga. And recent age, last 15-20 years, lot of awakening has come about this, about physical health. So when you do yogasana, it is not just about exercise. Because you are actually being in tune with the entire nature when you do such asanas. Asana is not aerobic exercise. Asana is not about running and jogging and all that. Asana is actually you are doing exercising your mind. You are actually exercising your soul. That's what they say. It is not just about that. So last is known as yogasana. Yogasana means union. Ultimate. After all of these, the last is yogasana means soul and supreme soul. When you are in that combined stage with Shiv Baba, you are actually doing yogasana. So in all, these are all the different asanas. So this is one of the aspects, one of the ways of looking at the worldly things. Baba has always said, you don't have to do yogasana, you are sahaj yogis. Baba has always said, yogasana means total surrender. Yogasana means complete merging of soul and supreme soul. Yogasana is a stage of loveline stage. Yogasana is a stage of combination, of combined stage. So amalgamation, like you are lost in him, and without him nothing is there. He is the only world. That stage of the yoga, that stage of meditation is known as yogasana. So this is one of the ways of looking at the things and turning them into spiritual, as per in a subtle aspect, because this is not just physical postures, these are all mental postures as well. Okay, so just we discuss something about asanas of Raj Yoga. Om Shanti.